Hello, Cornerstone friends and family. This morning we had some technical difficulties and the message didn't record, but some folks said they wanted to hear this message. So I am up here at the church before lunchtime to do this message one more time for you guys that would like to hear this message today. And I thank you guys for listening. So the last few weeks, what we've been doing at Cornerstone is a message series called the Summer Heroes of the Faith series. And the first week we talked about Noah and how we didn't want to miss the boat. And then we talked about Ruth and how we needed to follow God because He has a plan. And then last week for Father's Day, we talked about Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, who we said that the Bible was the best tool that we could have in our carpenter's tool belt. That's the best tool we can have as fathers to share with our children and pass that on from generation to generation so that our children and their children come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this week we're going to be talking about a trio of superheroes. Have you guys ever been in a situation where you knew what the right thing to do was, but everyone else around you wasn't really doing the right thing? And so you start to kind of wonder, we end up in some of these situations where there can be some pretty bad stuff going on, but due to peer pressure, even as adults, sometimes we start to look at these things and we start to wonder, hey, is that really that bad? And we start to question our beliefs, but see, we need to line up what our beliefs are with the Bible. That's God's word to His creation. We need to make sure that whatever we think is in line with what God thinks. With the recent Supreme Court decision, we as believers, we're going to have to decide where we stand. And not just on this particular issue, but the issues that are going to come up over the next several years, and maybe until the end of the time that God has planned for this earth. And it's not going to be easy, because after a decision like this, it's only a matter of time before people start to skew culture and even skew Scripture to mean what they want it to mean, to try and recognize some things that were there the entire time, but they didn't really recognize it properly. We start to see some things that are bad according to God's Word, and people want to make those things good. See, at one time, stealing from someone was bad enough that you could get your hand chopped off for that. At one time, committing adultery was worth being stoned to death for. At one time, lying could get your tongue cut out of your mouth. But we find ourselves thinking that these things aren't so bad nowadays. You know, you steal something, you go off to jail. Maybe you could steal something big, a diamond or something, and spend more time in jail. But if you steal a piece of candy or something, you know, maybe the kids should get put in the corner or something. It's not that bad of a sin. But you see, God's Word teaches that if we've committed one sin, then we have committed all of the different sins. See, it's tough. It's tough to stand tall in the midst of everyone else doing and thinking wrong and be the one that stands out in the crowd to say, that's not a good thing. I want to do the right thing according to God's Word and not what the majority is doing. I want to do what the minority is doing, the ones that follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because I believe that that's the right thing to do. And as in the song earlier, we're going to learn that, you know, God's going to save us from whatever He allows us to go through. And even if He don't, we still need to worship Him and obey Him. Today I want to share a story of superheroes of our faith from around 605 B.C. to 562 B.C. And for those of you that don't really know, B.C. started way before and it counted up to zero. And then at zero we started at 1 A.D., 2 A.D., and we're at 2015 A.D. right now. So that's why the numbers seemingly go backward, but really they're going forward because it's B.C. But before we can talk about this trio of superheroes, we have to first talk about Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. See, Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took over Jerusalem, the town and all the people that were there. And he asked for his chief eunuch to go out and find a bunch of the people to bring into the king's service. So of those people that they went out and found, there were four of them that we're going to be looking at today: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they were all from Judah. After they had been there under the training of the chief eunuch for a little while, the king wanted them fed from his table, but Daniel said, "No, just feed us vegetables." I personally think that he's crazy. I don't like vegetables. I would never ask for that to be done to me. And I can't fathom how just eating vegetables can be healthy, but God had told him that that's what he needed to do. And so Daniel was obedient to what God asked him to do. And the chief eunuch is like, "No, I can't do that. If I feed you just vegetables, you're going to be skinnier than all the other guys. And you four are going to stand out because you're going to be so scrawny. And the king's not going to like that. He's going to think that you're not being fed or that you're not eating of his food." But Daniel says, "You know what? Let's just try it out for 10 days. If at the end of 10 days we look any more unhealthy than anyone else, then you can stop doing that and you can bring the rest of the food." So they did that for 10 days, and at the end of 10 days, they looked more healthy than the rest of the guys that were coming into the king's service. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, we need to all become vegetarians, because I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. I like hamburgers and pizza too much. And then time goes by. And they've been in this training, they've been studying, and they've been learning, and they're preparing to go before the king. And then this right here is what Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20 says. "To these young men God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered into the king's service. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And so the king brought them into his service, and he renamed them to the names that we're more familiar with: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then after a time passes, Nebuchadnezzar, he starts having these dreams, and he doesn't know what they mean, so he calls in all of the enchanters and sorcerers and astrologers to tell them about his dreams. And out of all these guys, they come to Nebuchadnezzar, and they say, "All right, tell us what your dream was, and we'll interpret what it means." He says, "Oh, hold on. If you guys are able to do this, then you're going to be able to tell me what my dream was and what my dream means." So they all converse with each other, and they're like, "Hey, you're really going to have to tell us what this dream was before we can tell you what it means." He's like, "Nope, not going to have it." So kill them all. So he says he wants them all to be killed. And then they come to Daniel, and they tell Daniel about the situation. He says, hold on, let me interpret the dream for the king. What? How's this guy from Judah going to be able to interpret this dream? So they bring him to, he says, "I just need a day to pray about this and talk to God, and then I will tell the king what his dream was and I will interpret it for him." So he does. He talks to God, and then the next day they take him before the king, and he tells the king, "Here's what your dream was, and then here's what it means." And it was talking about his kingdom and future generations of the kingdom. And the king accepted that, and he put him in charge over Babylon. And Daniel asked for his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be there with him. So then after a time, Nebuchadnezzar, he sets up a big idol that's maybe 40 or 60 feet tall. I can't remember how high it said, and it was in a different measurement, but translated is probably 40 feet, I believe, this big, giant, golden statue that whenever music started playing, that these people were to bow down to this idol. And it wasn't very long before some of these astrologers and enchanters, everybody's coming up going, "Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? these three guys, they're not bowing down and worshiping whenever the music starts playing. They refuse. They'll only worship their God. So he becomes consumed with anger, and he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into his presence, and he says, you know what, guys? Whenever the music starts playing, you guys better bow down, because if you don't, I'm tossing you into the fire. And so they refuse. So the king says, you know what, I want to heat up. Now actually, this right here is what, how this right here goes down. The king summons them and he tells them what's going to happen. And they say, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. That comes from Daniel 3:16. So like Shane and Shane, even if God doesn't save us, we're still not going to disobey him. So what happens after they do this? Well, he becomes even more enraged. He says, you know what? Heat up that furnace to 7 times hotter than what it normally is and toss them in there. So they do. They heat it up to 7 times the normal temperature of this furnace. And the guys carry them over there and throw them into this fire. And the very guys that took them over to the furnace burned up themselves. But after a short time, the king is looking inside the furnace and he sees 4 guys in there. And he's like, what? We only threw 3 guys in there. I saw him go in. How's there a 4th guy? But then he starts looking closer and he starts to realize that this is an angel that's in there with him. So he calls them out of the furnace and they come out and they don't smell like smoke. There's not a hair singed on their body. You can't tell that they were in an extreme temperature, that had just burned up guys before that, throwing them in. Nothing had happened. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he recognizes what just happened. And this is what he says. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except for their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the province of Babylon. That comes from Daniel 3:28-30. He recognized that they trusted in him and that he did, in fact, save them from the fire, and that there's no other God that can do this. None of his gods could do something like that. They would have burned up. And then if you've ever been over to Israel, you can see that they're serious about turning places into piles of rubble. I got to see that. And then they just build on top of that layer after layer. But you know what? How does all of this apply to our lives today? What can we really learn from these superheroes of the faith? See, because I believe that the Bible teaches that there's nothing new under the sun. That comes from Ecclesiastes. And I believe that. But I do believe that things can get worse. The next passages that I'd like to read to you, just try to think along with me and recognize out of this scripture that's talking about in the last days some ways that people will be, and see if while we're reading the scripture that you can think of people that are like this, that may fall into these categories. And I'm sure like me, you will recognize some people immediately that look like this. And remember, this is Paul talking about the last days to Timothy, one of his disciples and a disciple of Jesus through Paul. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And that comes from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. Were you able to think of some people that look like this in today's time? Lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Lovers of money that are proud, arrogant. People that are abusive and disobedient to their parents. We all do. We can all think of people that fall into these different categories. And you see, it's our work as disciples of Jesus to stand tall and be a light in the darkness that is this world that we live in. It's our work as believers to love God first and love our neighbors just as God loves them. See, Jesus, He loved sinners. He loved everyone. And something that I realized this week in my studies is that Jesus, He loved the sinners so much that they invited Him into their homes. His words and His character caused people to want to invite Him into their homes, where then He could talk to them about their sins and about repentance and about their need for a Savior to save them from what's to come from this lifetime into the next. Jesus called out the Pharisees for their hypocritical nature. They were people that knew the law and they wanted to hold everyone else accountable to a T to it, but many times they disobeyed to themselves or they carried it out so much to a T that it's like they didn't really understand the purpose of the law. Like, for instance, that I learned up at the Promise is the whole reason that they struck someone 39 times is because God had set a limit of 40 and they wanted to be sure that they didn't pass the 40. They're going to go right up to the point, but they're not going to go past it because that's what happens whenever we see the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. So what's going to happen whenever things start becoming progressively worse in this nation with the tolerance agenda that I put in quotes to accept the things defined by God as evil? I think that we need to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we need to not bow down to evil. We need to stand tall and know that God will save us from whatever it is that we go through. But even if He don't, we still need to be obedient to God. We need to not bow down to the wickedness ourselves, whatever that may be. And it's going to be tough. Jesus didn't say the road was going to be easy. He said that it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to stay on the straight and narrow road whenever there's so many different ways that we could go off of the straight and narrow. But those ways lead to destruction, and we want to stay on the narrow path that leads to heaven. But where do we get this strength and this wisdom and the courage to stand against this evil that's going to be coming our way, that's going to make our lives maybe miserable? First, we need to always remember that they hated Jesus first. They hated Him so much that they hung Him on a cross and killed Him and put Him into the grave. But God raised Him up and showed that He can defeat death, that He's in control of life and death. And guys, I don't know when the world is going to come to an end, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that can line up, prophecies that line up with the things that are happening right now. But I don't think we need to focus on the end times. We need to focus on right now, and we need to focus on loving Jesus and loving people the way that He loved them, because if we love people the way that Jesus loved them, then they're going to see Jesus through us. We need to be imitators of Christ so that when people see us, we're standing behind that cross. But where do we get that strength and that wisdom and the courage to stand against the evil? We need to let His Word teach us. We need to let the Bible be guiding our steps. We need to let our relationship with Jesus through His Word guide our steps and keep us standing tall in the midst of other people bowing down to worship false idols. We need to pray each day for God to give us wisdom, for God to give us strength, for God to give us boldness, and for God to give us the appropriate words to minister to people's lives, not to turn them away from the Jesus that loves them so much with our actions. Because if we are claiming to be followers of Christ, yet our actions don't look like what Jesus looks like, they're going to want no part of that. And remember, they invited Jesus into their homes. We also need to be in fellowship with other believers, people that can keep us accountable to reading His Word and to keep our prayer life the way that it should be. So guys, the main point of the message here today is that we need to stand tall in wickedness and be light in the darkness. We need to do it in a way that lets Jesus be out in front of us. Not in a way that we let our own feelings get in the way of things, that we let our own wicked hearts take control of us. Love people the way that Jesus loved them. I just want to pray for you guys that are listening to this recording here today. I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank the people that were present for the live message today. As I'm praying, just agree with me in prayer. And I would ask also that you'd spend some time in the silence just to kind of pray. I'm going to pray and then I'll let you guys have time on your own. But please do spend a little bit of time in prayer as you listen to this message. And if you're listening with your husband or wife, just pray that God would make you bold and that you could be more like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and stand tall in hard times. God, we thank you so much. We love you and we want so desperately to honor you with our lives and with our words and with everything that we do. God, we ask that you be with us and guide us in every aspect of our lives, whether it be at work, whether it be in our homes, whether it be on a public forum like social media, and just guide our words, guide our spirits. Help us to not condemn people because we have no right to do that. God, only you can condemn people. Use us to minister to their lives. God, help us to be the people that they want to invite into their home so they can understand you better, so that they can understand why it is that you made these laws, and God, why it is that you sent Jesus, who is the only way, truth, and life, and the only way that we're ever going to get to heaven. God, if I want to lift up our great nation, the United States of America, we have been a country for so long now, and God, there's so many people that try to follow you with their lives, that try to be what you would have them be. But God, things are starting to get messed up, and we just want to ask that you would appoint people that will guide us rightly, that will guide us towards what you would have us guide us towards and not the things that we would do. God, put strong leaders, people that know your word and want to follow your word and want to be obedient to you, into our government. God, help us to be a witness to people for you. Help us to be what you would have us be. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for strength, for boldness. God, for love. We ask you for love for our neighbors and for you so that we can obey you the way that you would be obeyed. God, help us to repent when we need to repent and to confess our sins. We love you. God, we know you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys that are listening in, if you would just spend some time in prayer, grow your relationship with God, grow your relationship with Jesus, and and love him the way that he puts it on your heart to love him and understand him. Thank you guys again for listening.